opinions and commentary are solely that of Rick David and not that of IPC Securities Corporation. Listeners are advised to talk to their own financial advisor for their own financial advice. IPC Securities, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Rick, how are you today?
Very good, Dennis. How are you this morning?
Good, thank you. We've got a whole bunch of good questions coming in. I guess we can get right at it if you want to.
You bet.
I might as well, because these come in earlier. What we want you to do is, if you have any questions financially, you can get them to Rick David. His office is on the second floor of the City Center building in downtown Penticton. And you take the glass elevator, and as soon as it pops off at the second floor, as soon as the door opens, you're right there. First question coming from Sarah in Penticton today. And to you, Rick, should I redo my mortgage even if I may have to pay a penalty? That's interesting.
Okay, Sarah, basically when it comes down to, that's a question that I get quite a bit about, actually. But the number of mortgage brokers here in the, South Okanagan, obviously if a person got a couple quotes to see what the, what the rates are, or what the penalty might be, and, a person could sit down and just go over the different, what your options are. It's certainly something a person can look at, but without more information in your specific case, we wouldn't be able to determine whether it would be beneficial for you at this time. But it's a good thing to go over and see if you can save a bit of money on the interest that you're paying on your mortgage.
What are these penalty costs? Would it be like going to redo a will, like the same amount of money you win or lose on that then?
No, Dennis, it depends on the firm that you're with and the type of mortgage that you have. It can vary from 3 months interest payments to a set fee or something like that. But typically, I would work with a client's mortgage broker and something like that, and help them find what's most beneficial for them.
Interesting. Sounds competitive. We've got lots of mortgage brokers.
Yes, there is. Yes.
Second question is coming in from Dave in Osui yesterday, and thank you for listening here on the World Wide Web. Can Dave use money from his RRSP to buy a home? Well, this goes to penalties again. You can't dig into those, can you?
Actually, Dennis, there is a couple of ways, and the first and the one that's most common is the first-time home buyers program, where somebody who is a first-time buyer, hasn't owned a home in a number of years, can access their RRSP for a percentage of their down payment. And this can really, really help, especially in a first-time home buyer sense, where they can access some of those funds. They get about 15 years to pay that back. There is a bit of a sort of a grace period between when you buy your home and when you have to begin repaying your RRSP. And on the second part of that question, there is a way, and there are certain trust companies in Canada that you can use, where you, if you have enough money in your RRSP to fund your mortgage, you can actually use that monies in the RRSP to do a non-arm's length transaction to your mortgage. So you're actually paying yourself back in your RRSP. It's not as common as it used to be. There are some concerns as far as your diversification, but generally speaking, most people are going to pay their mortgage payment, and therefore, it's one way to basically take control of who you're paying for your home mortgage.
We're pushing this broadcast out on Twitter right now, and I'm watching our feeds. I see we've had 8 here already today on the show. And if you have questions for Rick, he likes to get them ahead of time, and that doesn't mean you can't call in. You can if you want to, at 778-476-1674. If you can't catch that number on the fly, you can pick it up off our website. But there's reason for that too, Rick, because you don't like to pull these things off the top of your head. Some of the questions you do have to research a little bit more than others, don't you?
Yeah, like if there's something that I'm not exactly sure, and I mean, it's pretty darn easy if a person just picks up the phone, calls me at the office, I have a little bit of time to do a little more in-depth on the question, and then I could fill them in that way as well.
Right. How are you liking it in the City Center building?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it's a beautiful spot. It's right downtown. It's really great in the summer when you got the farmer's market going from one end to the other there. It's a busy little place.
This is for the people on the World Wide Web, so you can kind of get an idea of where Rick is. The City Center building, if you'd been in Penticton over the years, was where the Zellers was. It was a 3-story building that they've renovated, and there's a realtor office that looks like it's expanding where the coffee shop was, and a Farmer's Save down below. That's
yep.
Right. That's where it is, where the IPC office is, and the show's on right now. IPC Securities, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. We're back in a moment. You're listening to The Long and the Short of It on South Okanagan Country Internet Radio.
When it's time to get serious about how to invest, your first step should be a visit to Rick David at IPC Securities in Penticton's City Centre building. The first thing Rick does is discuss and define your specific financial goals and needs. That first session will last about half an hour and won't be intimidating. Together, you'll create a plan that allocates capital and is inexpensive to operate. The final design will consist of investment solutions that will help you reach your financial goals for the short and the long term. In our modern age of high-speed technology, it's not hard to keep track of business transactions happening anywhere in the world. With daily fluctuations and, more importantly, what that means for your investments, it just makes good sense to have sound professional advice. Get the long and short of it with someone who's close by and knows the local market just as much as the international one. Rick David is just a phone call or email away. Set up an appointment, IPC Securities Corporation in Penticton. Rick David, your investment advisor in the 200 block of downtown Penticton, second floor of the City Centre building.
IPC Securities Corporation is a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Well, we're smack dab in the middle of our show. If you're just catching up with us right now, with investment advisor Rick David with IPC Rate. Go right back to the question list here. This is about vacation property. Okay, this one. If I sell my vacation property, do I have to pay tax on that transition in Canada? It's coming from Jerry in Penticton. Oh, he's somewhere in the, oh, he's in the U.S. Okay, I get this. I'm going to sell my vacation property in the U.S. Do I have to pay tax on that transition in Canada?
Okay. Well, Jerry, there's a lot of folks that bought vacation properties or second properties in the U.S. here with the latest sort of financial crisis, what we had and what happened to real estate prices in the U.S. That's actually a question for an accountant, but I can give you some guidance there. Basically, you're probably going to need to have your accountant even have a U.S. accountant look at whether there was any kind of capital appreciation or capital gain on the property. And I know from my experience that you're going to have a little bit of a challenge to actually get some of that money. There will be some sort of a time where it's withheld before you can access the funds back to Canada. So it really, if that question, you can phone me at the office and I can give you the name of some U.S. tax people here in Canada that could answer that question a little more specifically.
Okay, good. Is there many people that have vacation property just over our border that work through this?
Yeah, you do. Really, it comes down to, and I'm not an authority on U.S. tax, but it comes down to what type of income, whether it's capital gain or whether you're actually taking rental income. And, you know, there's a lot to it. It's just not quite as simple as selling your place here in Canada, whether it's a primary residence or a secondary residence, whether you're paying tax. So a person really should get some U.S. tax advice.
Okay, very good. And that question came from Jerry in Penticton about vacation property across the border. Another question rolling in from Daryl in Summerland today. Rick, I have to make a decision on my pension. This is Daryl to you. Is it better to take the value of transfer to the RRSP and then receive the pension that way in a monthly installment? I see what... I see he's trying to work this pension through.
Okay, I got an idea what you're looking for there, Jerry. It really depends. If you're comparing right now what the community value of your pension would be compared to what the future monthly benefit would be, there is a bit of a challenge. It comes down to, again, each person's specific financial situation, but also the type of pension, and because they're not all created equal. And quite often, with that pension benefit going forward, there can be, other benefits as well, such as medical and dental and things like that. So a person would have to really look at that. I can tell you that in some cases we have taken the community value, and in other cases it just made a lot more sense just to leave the pension the way it was and stream that revenue when a person's 60 or 65 or whenever you decide.
People planning for pensions, I guess the earlier you have to, with the CPP, Rick, and what we're hearing, people are going to have to take care of themselves and not rely on government. It seems more and more we're going that way.
Oh, absolutely. It's been like that ever since practically day one. But it, in many cases, you know, I think if people do the best that they can, you know, that's all you can ask. And if